going to move on because we're and look at the issue of forestry. This is in obviously your brief, Minister Pippa Hackett. You have responsibility for land use as part of the brief, and that includes forests. And listeners might be aware you launched a €1.3 billion forestry scheme last year, and it has the ambition to increase the percentage of land under forest cover to 18%. Now it currently stands at about 11%, which is way below the
closer
European.
Closer to 12, Colm. Go on, give
okay.
me your percentage.
So €1.3 billion sounds like a lot of money, and one would think it might go a long way towards incentivising the planting of a lot of trees. But before we get back to the panel, I've been talking to Pádraig Egan, who's chairman of the Social, Economic and Environmental Forestry Association, SEFA, and I began by asking him if this scheme to encourage more planting is working.
No, it's the straight answer. And when it came out with a lot of fanfare. It was a long time in the making, of course, and in fairness to Minister Hackett, she said she'd deliver a programme, and she did with her officials. But the problem with it, Colm, is it's unworkable on the ground. The main problem is the new programme, as it is, will only allow you to plant top quality mineral ground. That's the bones of it. So you're talking about planting the best of the land in the country. And farmers, by nature, won't do that. They want to plant their marginal land, their bottom land. And this scheme does not allow you to do that because there's a thing in the scheme which says, and it's the main item. Now, there's multiple items, but one of the main things is peat, right? You cannot plant peat greater than 30 centimetres in depth. That's a foot in depth. Now, the problem with that is, like, I'm from County Offaly originally, where the minister comes from, and you travel around the Midlands, and I'm sure you have, you'll see peat out in the bogs, board them on the bogs, we're all used to it. That's not what we're talking about here in peat, and that's what everybody thinks peat is. Well, the most people. The peat that they're talking about in the Forest Service is green fields that has black soil under it. And that would have been, you could have cows grazing on it, you couldn't even silage off it. But that's not suitable for forestry. So the minister and her officials have designed a scheme that's not suitable for Ireland because Ireland has peaty type soils.
So do you know at the moment of cases where landowners want to plant large areas of land, but they can't because of this stipulation about the peaty soils?
Oh, absolutely, sure. Like when as you said, the $1.3 billion programme, when it came out, the phones were hopping. And all our members' phones were hopping. But they started to fall off one by one when we started looking at it and looking at, and we got used to the training was done for the new schemes. It just evaporated. Now there's nothing happening. And like, the facts speak for themselves. There's no applications going in. We know it. I know it on the ground. All the companies that's members of SEFA, we all talk to one another. We talk to one another more now than we ever did because we have no forestry. We have no applications going on. We have no planting. I run a small company. It's not about an individual company, but we would plant maybe 350, 400 hectares every year for the last, I suppose, 10, 12 years, however long we're going, bar the last 2 years. The last 2 years, we probably planted 180 hectares, about 90, 100 hectares a year. This year, starts in November, finishing maybe in a month's time, zero planting. Zero planting and zero applications gone in.
So can I ask?
No pipeline.
Yeah, can I ask you on that then? You know, the grants have gone up for native forest from €5,620 to €6,744. That's per hectare, is it?
Yeah.
And the grant for agroforestry up again by €3,000 up to €8,500, and there's grants for seed orchards and continuous cover forestry. Despite the enhanced grants, you're not seeing a pipeline of work coming through. And can you directly attribute that to this stipulation about not planting on peaty soils?
Yes, that's one of them, and loads of other things. So let's say you do get a marginal piece of land that is not greater than 30 centimetres. Let's say we do find one of them sites around the country and you come to me and say, right, Pádraig, I want to put in this application. I go and look at it and say, right, it's on the verge. We might get it through. So we put in that application. The cost of putting in that application now, because I can be pretty certain we'd have to do two or three reports on it. You could need an ornithologist for birds. You could need a hydrologist. You'd definitely need an ecologist. So you could be looking at €3,000-4,000 to put in an application, plus our time now. On top of that. Now, the minister, and she's right when she says this, if you put this to her today, she'll say, oh yeah, but the department will pay for them reports. And yes, they will. But Colm, as the farmer or landowner, has to pay us or these professions to do these reports in order to put his application in. And if he gets approved and he goes ahead and plants, that's when he gets it back. Now, once you go down the road of getting the colleges and different people on board, your chances of getting approved are seriously reduced. And that's nothing to do with them professional people, but the guidelines that they have to work to. The guidelines that the Forest Service own inspectors have to work to. Like, it takes so long to process an application now. It's just not viable. So an application that's on the margin, if you know what I mean, if I went out and looked at your land and said, right, it's less than 30% peat there, maybe deeper over there, it's just not worth it. You won't pay the cost, and I wouldn't expect you to pay the cost. So it goes back to what I said to you at the start, Colin. The only land that we can plant in this is that you're dead sure of is top quality mineral ground, which, you know, it's dairy land, it's beef land, it's tillage ground. That's not going to be planted. The department, the Forest Service, developed a programme and brought it to Europe and got it approved. Now, they will tell you that they're kind of slightly hamstrung by European rules. But that may be true, but they need to go to Europe and design a programme that suits Ireland. Yes, the minister delivered a 1.3, and our officials delivered a 1.3 billion. And as I've told them, it could be 1.3 trillion. It'll never be spent.
So realistically, how much forestry planting can you see happening this year? New forestry planting initiated.
I would say last year it was about 2.3, 2.4. I'd say this year it'll be about 1,600 hectares going to be planted this year. And I would safely say in 2025, we'll be lucky if we break 1,000 hectares. I don't think we will.
And that was Padraig Egan, chairman of the Social, Economic and Environmental Forestry Association, SEFA, speaking to me earlier. Pippa Hackett, the acreage of forestry that Padraig Egan was projecting would be planted this year is pretty low, and his view for the future is pretty pessimistic. Do you agree with those figures?
I think we've planted already higher than what Padraig had mentioned there already. But still, it's not where we want to be. I do agree there's a massive challenge. It's a very, very challenging.
Do you agree
sector.
With the issues he's identified?
I agree with some of them. I think, but the fact that, you know, to say that we're like slightly hamstrung by European legislation is not correct. I mean, we're wholly, obliged to oblige by the legislation, whether it's the Birds and Habitats Directive, water quality directives, and those are key to where we have
right,
to
but
go.
On the substantive issue on the quality of the soil, because most people looking at farmers and forestry would say farmers with marginal land would avail of a grant, plant the marginal land with trees, and it's win-win on land that's not terribly productive.
And they can still do that because, I mean, not every field with black soil is 50 centimetres depth of peat. And the reason behind the 50 centimetre, the reduction of that to 30 centimetres was because if you plant trees on 50 centimetres and it's drained, you're emitting carbon, essentially. You're not sequestering the carbon. And that's one big factor around our climate ambitions that's a scientific fact.
But in order
fact.
To find out how so, far down that black soil is, ecologists, hydrologists, other people have to be brought in and paid for, and they won't be reimbursed unless they can actually plant.
The peat issue is quite straightforward. It's literally put a stick in the ground. You can do it in no time. That doesn't need a great deal of require. You know, any forester could do that. You don't need an ecologist to tell you how deep the peat is. What you need the ecologists for is to tell you how sensitive the sites are, how close in proximity they are to maybe sensitive bird nesting sites. You need ecologists to tell you the impacts on water.
If it is that simple, why is the uptake so low? Because you know, you quibble to a certain degree with Padraig Egan's figures there, but it's nowhere near the 8,000. And his projection is that, well, in fact, what he says his experience is that the phone has stopped ringing in a lot of cases, and people are not applying for the grants.
If I could just put a little bit of perspective on this, if you flash back even 5 years, farmers were still not planting when in fact they could have planted on 50 centimetres of depth. So I mean, I don't buy that as
well,
an argument saying the depth
point,
of peat. The grants were there, not quite as good as they are now, but there were still grants which were better than the previous grants. So there has always been an improvement each time. The Commission originally wanted us to go to 10 centimetres of peat, so we've sort of fought tooth and nail to make it a little bit more flexible for the Irish setting.
So what is the problem then?
One of the problems is, to be honest, that is that we do not have a culture in Ireland of planting trees. So we don't have this generational piece that planting trees, if you plant trees in Ireland, it's considered you've removed yourself from farming, that you're no longer a farmer. Like in other countries in Europe, you're not a farmer unless you have some of your land planted in trees. It's a totally different situation here. It's been challenging for farmers across Ireland to plant trees. Their neighbours will be saying, oh God, you've moved away from agriculture. And that cultural piece will take a little bit of time to embed. And okay, the money is one thing, the cultural piece is another.
Could the strategy be reviewed to take cognizance of some of the issues that's been that have been raised?
Now, what we've done, we have met with CIFA and we have met with other forest owners, and we have taken on board some of the challenges around that. And there may be, you know, if it's not uniformly, if you've a 35 centimetre piece here and then it's 20 centimetres over, there might be ways of looking at averaging over a site and so forth. So we are willing to, but we will not be changing the fundamentals of the you know, because we're tied into the regulations now. We're tied into the European Commission granted us approval, gave us the state aid approval based on what we submitted. We can't make
massive changes. So there's a limit to what you can review.
There is,
but
still there's a lot of land out there that isn't, you know, 30 centimetres deep or more in Ireland. I understand the challenges around the marginal thing, but we have made some terrible mistakes in the past by planting on marginal land, by planting in areas that were unsuitable, by planting too close to communities, too close to waterways. That's what the Commission has looked at. That's what they've looked at. That's why they're saying you're going to have to correct those. And this is what we've come up with.
I know that the other members of the panel are keen to get in, but I just want to have a quick word first with Mary Donnelly on the wider implications of this. She's chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council. Mary, the council you represent has had a concern about forest cover for some years, and you've highlighted on a number of occasions. What are the implications of falling short of our targets, first of all?
Good afternoon, Colm, and thank you for the opportunity to go through this. From the Council's perspective, sustainable forestry is the primary scalable carbon dioxide removal measure that we have in this country. We're well placed in that we can grow trees and we do it very well. And trees will suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and operate as a sink. So they're very important in the climate action sphere of things to do. Ireland is a little bit behind the curve. We've only about 11-12% of our land covered by forestries. Other parts of Europe will be 18, right up to 20-28%. And that sink allows them to manage the emission reduction much more easily. Here in Ireland, we need to have more trees planted because our forest is currently in decline. It was planted 20, 30 years ago. It's now being cut because they're ripe and ready to cut. And when I look at the numbers of licences being issued, we have 2,500 licences for felling, cutting trees, whereas best case scenario, we're looking at somewhere between 2,000 and maybe 1,000 licences for planting. So we've got the balance of our forestry regulation in the wrong direction. And that's area that needs to be fixed.
OK, you probably heard Pádraig Egan there earlier talking about the barriers that he has to planting on behalf of people who are interested in availing of grants. How would you clear the logjam, if you'll pardon the pun?
Well, one of the really strong messages that the council has given on this one, it's twofold. One, we need to have more forests. And the minister is correct to say that it's not culturally seen as agricultural practices. And there's a number of things that the council is pushing. Firstly, we want to support farmers in Ireland in this climate action change. And a key issue is provide farmers with an alternative source of income that can maintain their standard of living.
All right. Well, we're dealing with some of the upfront costs that Pádraig Egan talked about there, where if people have to look at making a spend on viability, that maybe some of those could be met upfront instead of them having to be, instead of the farmer having to incur the bill and seek reimbursement.
A very simple way is if you look at what happens for a retrofit of houses, the government has now introduced one-stop shop options, which will carry that cost at the outset for you. So a similar approach here could perhaps be adopted in the case of verifying whether the land is suitable or not. But if I can come back to the issue, because the forests, of course, act as a sink. And that's key in terms of us achieving our emission reductions. But the second part, and this is the second part that the council has been pushing very hard, is that we need what they call embodied carbon in harvested wood products, i.e. in construction, in the buildings that we're doing, in the houses. You see the numbers that are being, you know, headlined all of the time, the number of houses that we need to build in the country. We need to achieve a much higher share of timber frame houses than we currently have.
So if that is the case, and you pointed out the licensing for felling is going one way, the license for actually planting is going a different way, and Pádraig Egan was talking about being very pessimistic about the future of this. How serious is that from the point of view of meeting our climate obligations?
It means that we won't have a sink available, not in 2030, but even not in 2050, because, you know, it's quite an obvious thing to say, it takes years for a tree to grow. So this is not something that you can solve today and tomorrow. This is a long-term project. Right. And if we don't get the trees in the ground today, they won't be there 25 years from now.
Okay. Mary Donnelly, Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council, many thanks for joining us this afternoon. Alice Mary Higgins, you've heard Pádraig Egan, you've heard Mary Donnelly there. What solution would you recommend in order to improve the country's record on planting and getting more land under trees?
Well, the first large thing that can be done is the 7% of the land, literally 7% of the land of the state, which is controlled by Quilcha. So we have a, you know, commercial semi-state who are in charge of 7% of the state's land, and they currently are operating under a mandate, and I've brought legislation, that mandate for nature, to address this. Their mandate currently says that they have to focus on the business of forestry solely on a commercial basis, and I have a mandate to say that they should be looking at an economically, socially and environmentally sustainable basis. So if you imagine, if you know, when we talk about trying to get to that 18% target, if we were confident that all of the land that we can really access and influence by changing their mandate, and indeed the state
but
is
are
sharing...
But are you...
It's already deforested. That's not new land.
But just to come to it...
Just ask the question. Like, if Pippa Hackett was saying there that, you know, the legacy issues with forestry was some unsuitable land was previously planted, would you be confident that all of the land under Quilcha control would be plantable under the new guidelines?
No, I don't
believe
it is, because actually we have 230,000 acres of peatland that are owned by Quilcha. And just to be clear, and the minister is correct in relation to, if you plant on peaty soil, you're not doing anything to help climate. Just to be really clear, the fact is Ireland's forests were net emitters of, you know, climate, of we were emitting rather than storing. And a lot of that was because forests have been planted on the wrong kind of soil, on peaty soil, in the wrong places. And if you look to restoring peatland, actually bogs and peatland are a much faster way to store carbon.
I think the statistic is they cover 3% of the world's surface and capture double the carbon
exactly.
of the forests.
It is one of the most effective ways. So first you would look to all of that peatland and making sure that we have schemes that support peatland being used to store.
All right, but
and
on the specific issue
there.
Of incentivising private landowners to put more of their land under trees, have you put any thought into that aspect of things?
So in relation to that, as I say, I think first of all, the state taking leadership. We've spent far too long trying to create, and this is what we've done on retrofitting actually as well, where we try and create a private market dynamic that's going to deliver when we're in a climate emergency. If the state is retrofitting public houses, if the state is planting in the responsible way that will actually store carbon on public land, that creates a climate and a culture which is different. But yes,
right.
There are practical measures. I do agree with the one-stop shop. I think it would be better rather than lots of different people having their own data, that we have a central place where people can go and get data on their land.
Darren O'Rourke, you've heard from Pádraig Egan there and Mary Donnelly. What would you do in order to free up what would you do to put more land under forest, bearing in mind that there are constraints with regard to peat depths?
Yeah, I think, it's very clear, and Mr. Egan's first response was that the current scheme is not going to deliver on targets and is unworkable on the ground, literally. I think, you know, this is one of the areas where there should be a win-win here for farmers and landowners and for the environment and for the state. And it is a damn indictment that we are delivering so poorly in terms of
So what's your alternative?
Licensing. Well, in the first instance, I think we need to listen to farmers and to landowners. And when they outline the frustrations, the barriers, the hurdles, to deal with them one by one. And there's some that you may not be in a position to move on because of constraints of, you know, what you've already entered into in terms of state aid. But also there are lots there that's very clear in terms of the bureaucracies that we have set up within the departments in terms of how applications are processed, when funding is given. There's lots of frustration, I think, for people who are already in forestry. Oh, but in terms of, for example, sure, ash dieback, you know.
When European money is given, there is an amount of paperwork to be filled out for good reason, because people have to be accountable for it. So what red tape are you talking about cutting in this sector?
Well, for example, we've already heard from Marie Donnelly and from Padraig Egan in terms of the sequencing of payments for reports. So that's a disincentive for some people to get into it. If the upfront cost, that is a risk. So I think we need to look at this in terms of the risk sharing. And for example, we've heard in other areas there's costs there. There were letters to the Irish Times to this effect in terms of the burden that is now placed on the landowner. For example, how they treat the land after they've harvested. That's a burden that's placed on the farmer where it mightn't necessarily be.
Effectively, potentially, 1.3 billion is not enough. I think.
You know, the fundamental principle.
But if you're looking to give greater upfront grants, if you're looking to help out with the mitigation
grants. I said the sequencing of the payment.
Right. You're looking to help farmers after trees are felled, are you talking about providing them with grants with that as well?
Well, let's be clear. What did Padraig Egan say? He said the 1.3 billion won't be spent. Right, and we're missing our targets by a factor of three. So there's a major problem with the schemes there. So the principle of working with landowners, working with farmers to unknot the knots that are there, and actually the piece of the historical piece is a significant piece. The reason people are getting out of forestry is because they don't have trust in the system and they don't have an indication of it now.
There's a Marie Donnelly, Pippa Hackett, mentioned the licensing there. She's concerned about the number of licenses that have been issued to plant trees. And Padraig Egan's main concern is that even if licenses are granted, there'll be difficulty with the uptake. What are the ideas to move that forward? The licensing issue, first of all, and secondly, the uptake issue.
Firstly, to clarify, every felling licence that's issued, there's a replanting obligation on the vast, vast majority of that land. So it's not as if more felling licences are being issued than afforestation licences. Forestry is a permanent land use change. So if you've planted trees, they pretty much stay there forever. So that, and within that is part of the challenge as well, for farmers as well. I was in Chagas actually this week in Oak Park in Carlow, and I was chatting to some of the forestry people there, and they were saying to me that they have never seen the level of interest in farm forestry, with people coming in and ringing and asking about it. So the interest is there, and I think the interest is there for lots of reasons.
I think Padraig Egan acknowledged that the issue is then once that it's investigated and they find out what the terms and conditions are, the follow through is something different, isn't it?
Well, I mean, but that's the role of the forester. I mean, if I'm going to build a house, I hire an architect, and the architect charges me for the plans of what the house are going to look like, you know. So I mean, and you don't get your money back when you build your house. In forestry, you do get that money back that you've invested up front, whether it's some cases it might be 1500 euros. That is a challenge. But
briefly, because we do have to go to another break.
The bottom line is, I think that the money is there. The money is good. It's about now the confidence building back in the sector, because we did have a period of time when we did plant lots of trees in the 80s. Okay, a lot of them were unfortunately in the wrong place. But I believe we have turned a bit of a bend. We just need to get that confidence back. Ash dieback will very, very shortly dealt with. And I just would encourage any farmer out there who's thinking about it, look at the sums, add them up, go talk to your accountant.
We've got to go for a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.